This session is part of the Indie Author Fringe Conference, a three times a year author conference fringe to the major publishing fairs London Book Fair, Book Expo America, and Frankfurt Book Fair. The Indie Author Fringe is run under the stewardship of the Alliance of Independent Authors, is organised by writers for writers, and is free to attend. Let's see who's sharing self-publishing insights in this session.
Okay, everyone, welcome to another presentation from the Alliance of Independent Authors for Indie Author Fringe. It is my total pleasure to introduce you to Joni Rogers and Jerusha Rogers. These two wonderful people, they're my editors, which is one thing, but they are just incredibly knowledgeable between them. Mother and daughter, both experts in all things writing, all things editorial, and we have a real treat ahead for you today, because I'm actually not even going to tell you what they're going to do. I'm just going to hand you over to their very capable hands. Joni, Jerusha.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Orna.
Whoops, is it up?
Oh, there we go. I have one foot in the traditional publishing world and one foot in the self-publishing world because I started my career when I was in chemotherapy, wrote my first two novels, which were published by McAdam Cage, then my memoir published by HarperCollins, another novel by HarperCollins, and then I started ghostwriting. In that world where I write books for celebrities, I have no creative autonomy whatsoever. I have to execute someone else's vision. So in my own projects, my soul projects, I am grabbing on to all the creative control, and that's why I self-publish. Poor Jerusha got sucked into this industry. Do you want to short form it?
I grew up in her office, and so I just sort of fell into publishing that way. And
she earned her first
car
by being my assistant. A car, it's powerful impetus, powerful plot-forming impetus. Okay, so what we do now as a team is called plot whispering, and we're going to do that for you today. So let me tell you a little story. There was once a monk who wanted to see with fully open eyes. He heard that far away on a mountaintop, there was a Brahmin who could give him a mantra that would make this happen. And so the monk went on a long journey. He trekked through a forest. He rode across a vast body of water. He climbed the mountain, and he came to the place where the Brahmin was sitting in a little grass-covered pergola. And he knelt by the Brahmin's side and said, "Give me a mantra that will help me see with fully open eyes." And the Brahmin said, "Om Mani Padme Hum." And the monk was like, "What? That is not special at all. That's a stupid little prayer that the children know, and you didn't even do it right. It goes, Om Mani Padme Hum." Whatever. So he goes down the mountain again, gets in his boat, and he's rowing, rowing across the vast body of water. And as evening fell, he saw through the mist the specter of a man walking toward him on the water. And as the specter came closer, he could see that it was the Brahmin. And the Brahmin stepped off the water and sat down in the monk's boat and said, "Dude, how did that last part go again?" Now, that's the story. Let's talk structure.
So, what we have now is the super, super, super basic outline. But a great idea is never enough. A story, a really good story, has to have bones. So, think about the artist that can take a skull, put the little markers on there, and then in an awesome 30-second 80s music montage, you have a fully formed, beautiful face.
She watched way too much TV as a child.
Yes, I did. And that's what we have right now, is the skull. But you have to have that in order to get to the fully fleshed out version. And you get there especially on the grid, through asking questions and answering those. And as we ask them and flesh them out, you'll see this really come together. And the grid, what we use to plot Whisper, is different from an outline in that as we flesh it out, it grows going across and down. So it's more like a periodic table that's going to give you layers upon layers that will help you throughout the writing process.
It has depth as well as width. You can layer things physically, mm-hmm. and it just gives you a tactile, on your feet approach to this process that is entirely different from the experience of outlining. Just try it, you'll see exactly what I mean. So how are we going to flesh this out? With the questions that any journalist storyteller is going to ask. Who, what, where, when? Okay, who, your characters. You're going to start developing your characters with the obvious physical attributes, personality traits that are going to define that character's journey. For example, in The Monk, it's this curiosity, it's this desire to see with fully open eyes. Next, you're going to start talking about what? What is the plot points? What is happening that is defining this story? You're going to see it evolve first in the Act 1, Act 2, Act 3 meta arc of the story. Then you're going to see within that meta arc, micro arcs. Example, the monk is at the Brahmin's feet. Within the meta arc of the story is the little micro arc of what happens in that meeting. He asks for the mantra, he receives the mantra, he rejects the mantra. It's a perfectly little formed arc. You see what I mean? Now you're going to want to define those arcs within every power scene. And then you're going to see how the power scenes will be strung together with transitional scenes. And it's going to be clear to you when you know the answers to those questions. What needs to happen? Where is it? Every great story, to take this from that little anecdote that I just told you to a full-scale Siddhartha story, it's got to have ambiance, it's got to have atmosphere, it's got to have an amazing place that we can go to. That is so relevant to the reader's experience. This is where you stop thinking about what's inside your own head and you start thinking about the reader's experience and you create that mm-hmm. atmosphere. And then there's the question of when. Now, when I say when, I'm not talking necessarily about what's the time period of this. I feel like that's part of place. When, for me, is when do these beats happen? When do those plot bombs get detonated? The timing is everything. So you're going to want to denote those plot bombs in some special way that you can backbuild the reveal. The Brahmin is coming. Okay, the Brahmin gets in the boat. That's the upshot of it. But what is that experience going to be to the reader if we don't slowly Gypsy Rose Lee that moment by having the specter come through the mist? He comes closer. It's a man walking on the water. The reveal is everything. Which leads us to the all important question, why?
So why is not just why does he go to the Brahmin to seek wisdom? Why does he leave the Brahmin? Because he's disillusioned. These things are important. It's important to know that, and it's important to recognize that and to build that into your writing because it's going to give it depth. But a lot of times when a client comes to me, they want to tell me what their story is. And that's important, obviously. But what I want to know is why their story is. Why do you have to tell this? Why do you need to get this out of your soul and into the public? So if this were a client that came to us with this story, we're going to be like, oh, okay, this is why this book has lost its way, or this lifestyle book has not standing out, or the screenplay can't get a green light from the studio. It's because when we get down to the bottom, why does the Brahmin come back? It's a punchline, not a denouement. So instead of going just through the facts of the story, by asking why, we're going to elevate it to the truth of the story. And the truth of the story is that the Brahmin has already been enlightened. He knows that you have to seek wisdom wherever you are and from whoever you encounter. So now we've gotten that truth of the story.
So if we came in as book doctors to doctor the author telling that story, we would say, well, you need some kind of resolve on the end. There has to be, particularly in a screenplay, it's important to have this lift at the end that is a sense of future. It's what makes the reader feel satisfied and happy that they read this and brings the experience of the book or the movie to full flower. And my thought for the ending of this was that I thought, well, we were talking about, you know, what could happen after that if it was, where could he go from there? Is he going back to his village to make great social change? Is he going back to not be a monk but get married and have children? Or what if, I don't know, give me something.
I already pushed him off the boat. That's terrifying. That would be the most terrifying thing in the world.
Now, what if...
In my story, yes.
Okay, feel me here. What if the Brahmin sits in the boat? He says, what is it that happened again, guy? And suddenly the monk sees with fully open eyes. And he says the only correct answer that there is, I don't know. And at that moment, he steps out of the boat and crosses the water and climbs the mountain and takes the Brahmin's place. And the Brahmin rows across the water. And oh my gosh, that would be beautiful. No?
Just push him off the boat.
Okay, so we've pushed him off the boat then. See, I never win these arguments. Millennials.
I'm the plot whisperer. That's why I have the pen and the sticky notes.
But one way or another, it's all the power. The sticky notes wield all the power. But one way or another, we have to get to a moment where we not only know the character's motivations, we know the writer's motivations, and we know the reader's motivation. This is so key that you know why is the reader coming to your story. Because when you identify that why, you have identified your market. You know who your reader is.
And when you know who you're telling your story to, you know who you're selling your story to.
Oh,
and
she's that is like madmen with the aphorisms. Yeah. Okay, so say you know the answer to that question. I know who I'm telling my story to, so I know. We should have everybody say that along with us. That's so brilliant. She has these little flashes that kill me. But okay, so you know who you're telling / selling this story to. That enables you to make an educated decision on what your path to publication is. Now, since I've experienced virtually every path to publication that there is, I mean, I started out grinding, querying, and finally got picked up by a small press, which then introduced me to a bigger audience, which got me to a big press. Then I'm in the big five. Then I'm self-publishing. I've been at this experience from all the angles. Exactly going back to what I told you at the beginning, my reason for coming to the story is that I want to create something that is totally from my soul. When I know who's reading it from that soul deep need, then I can sell them. And it makes it sound so easy, which I know it isn't. But that's the path that I've chosen for my fiction soul projects, is the self-publishing track. Now,
the easy part about that, though, once you've identified that market, you can go and really easily identify what are the other titles of books that people have written for that same purpose, to reach that same audience and get that same reader experience. And so then you know what conversations you need to be in. You know what your comp titles are. So you know who your competition is. It's a handy thing to know.
And you know what worked for them.
Yes.
And that you can see if it works for you. There are no rules, but you can see what works for them just might work for you. So working with our Plot Whispering system, we've done three major applications. Number one, in a one-day Plot Whispering session, we can get a synopsis, which is so key to anchoring you as you go forward. You can develop that into a chapter-by-chapter outline, and then you can develop that into a full-fledged, fully executed manuscript. You just keep building and building. And as you can see on that handout, that wall in Texas, that was a creative, sort of a very strange, creative, wonderful project that we did with two artists who wanted to tell their story through their art. And incredibly complex range of stuff. And you can see, you can't see the colors, but it's very, with the color coding, you can see the balance of each component, and you know where you need to develop it further. So if you are doing traditional publishing, you're going to have a book proposal, which has all these components in it.
Yes.
But the value of doing that, even if you're not traditionally publishing, is that you have a business plan to go forward with your book. So we just have, do we have a few minutes for questions? Like 3 minutes? Anybody?
Yeah.
Everybody's looking at us like, oh my God, what did they just do? But I think the, oh, go ahead.
Which experience did you prefer, the self-publishing or going with the big five?
Well, I think there are huge gifts in all of those experiences. I'll tell you, I've learned a lot from every single book that I've done. And it depends on what your objectives are. If your objective is to sell, then Big Five chances are will help you do that. If you've got a super mainstream project, but if you want to orchestrate that experience for yourself and be a control freak, then that's self-publishing. And for me, it's like trying to choose which of my children I like better. Of course, Jerusha would say her.
Obviously.
It's a no-brainer. Come on. Hey, Malachi's about to give me a grandchild. So, sorry, kid. You're chopped liver now. But yeah, I would have a hard time saying which experience. I'll tell you something. We worked together on a screenplay.
I think that's probably my favorite application.
That's your
of
favorite
this.
Job that we've done?
Because we not only did we get to do this, and obviously on a bigger space, I mean, in the picture on the handout, that's a full wall of windows.
It's like 10 feet.
So
12 feet.
Like you have this massive, very, very thorough wall. But when we do it with memoirs or with other people's work, you have to do it with their creative vision in mind and their truth in mind. Whereas when we worked on the screenplay together, it was what we wanted it to be. So we still got to do all the cool stuff and move the stickies, which I'm a nerd, so I love.
Yeah.
But
I think maybe that's my favorite project.
Still creative control.
Always my favorite project is the one I'm working on right now. And so I think I just finished a screenplay where Jerusha took me through the plot whispering process, and I was able to do something really meaningful that came out of, I spent almost 2 years caring for my mom as she died of Alzheimer's, and I really needed to do something with that experience. And I feel now like I can let go of a lot of things that would have been really hard for me to process otherwise. Whether or not anything comes of the screenplay, I got a huge gift from it. So on the on that handout is our website. We'll throw a copy of that, for those of you who are listening to the podcast, we'll throw a copy of that hand up on the website, plotwhisper.com. We would love to hear from you about your experiences, your ideas, and get out there and do wonderful things. Go forth and do good.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. You've been listening to another great session brought to you by the Indie Author Fringe and the Alliance of Independent Authors, Ally. You can find out more about both by visiting Ally's Self-Publishing Advice Center, www.selfpublishingadvice.org. Now, go write and publish.